some Kure too.
Kure, Kure, so great. Once you tried it, no can wait.
Tonight, right after Animal House, Eric Estrada and Howard Hessman meet the Dream Girls.
Hi.
Of every man's fantasy.
I'll just knock you dead.
Morgan Fairchild, Linda Carter, Kathy Lee Crosby, Victoria Principal, and much, much more.
Beautiful.
They're the sexiest super ladies on the scene. They're the women who rate a 10 later tonight.
This is the story of the little bull who wanted to sing, but sing in a special way. His ambition was to sing in the Bull of the Woods Quartet.
Rich and mild.
No, no. You must sing deeper.
Rich and mild.
You see, Bull of the Woods chewing tobacco is rich. It's mild, too. And your voice must express that mildness.
Rich and mild.
Deeper.
Rich and mild.
Fuller.
And so the little bull worked and sang and kept singing. His voice got richer and fuller and sweet as Bull of the Woods chewing tobacco until that great day when he got his wish.
Bull of the Woods
chewing tobacco.
Bull of the Woods
chewing tobacco.
Bull of the Woods.
It's a fact, sir.
Lonely filler can't be beat.
Rich and mild
chewing tobacco.
Man, it's good chewing tobacco.
Bull of the Woods chewing tobacco. Smooth and tasty chewing treat.
Oh,
he's the boss.
You run your mill with the same kind of skill that's been passed through your family to you. You're the kind of a man who likes to work with his hands. Beechnut's the tobacco you chew. Beechnut's the tobacco you chew, and it's been that way, father and son, for a long time. Beechnut's smoother, moister, more delicious. Try it. Yeah, Beechnut's the tobacco you chew.
Don't they, Barney?
Yeah. I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back.
Well, we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking a nap?
I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it, up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter, Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should.
The Flintstone has been brought to you by Winston. America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
All right, it tastes good like a cigarette should. We are back here live. No, man, my mic is not having a good time either. Here we go. We're going to try.
Absolutely right. It's neat and quick, and it goes on dry.
All right. I hope that's a little bit better. We're live back here in Mission Studios. And we're apparently talking to people, which is nice.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for having quality control. One of our listeners out there in the Central Valley sent in a message that said, we can't hear you. So thank you.
We can't hear you.
We appreciate that.
Thank you for letting us know.
Yes. So I think we were only off the air for a minute or two. It's 11 past. We're getting close to the 420 shout out with Patrick Carlin.
Yay.
What else do we have in store for you? That's about it. We're going to talk about, I know that Dakota had something that she wanted to read. Go ahead.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. Okay, go ahead. Oh, we're trying to get Mistress in here, too. Okay.
Story time.
So, all right. So, it's Dakota's story time.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a very interesting, hilarious, and stupid story at the same time. Hunter knocked unconscious by shot goose falling from the sky.
Shot goose?
Shot goose.
Ugh.
Some might chalk it up in bad luck to others to karma. I think it's karma.
Yes.
Robert Millikammer. Can't spell his name. Way too long. I can't hear this. Is this on?
Yes. Can you go? Go ahead.
MD was shot, struck in the head Thursday by a dead Canadian goose.
Oh.
That plunged from the sky after a fellow waterfowl hunter fired a blind shot. fired and shot a overhead Hamlet was in a midst of a hunting party and a few friends.
Oh, wow.
The goose fell about 90 feet, knocking the hunter out, instantly crashing, causing head and facial injuries. When Millikammer came to, he was coherent but hazy.
Mm.
Natural Resources, police, and EMS responders transported him.
I think I feel some more sorry for the goose.
County response called his head injury knocked out. Severe. He was dead. The dead bird also knocked out two of his teeth.
Oh,
that's funny. Thousands of Canadian geese in the United States migrate south every year, filling the sky with long V formations. Adult Canadian geese weigh about 12 to 14 pounds. The weight would have a wingspan of nearly 6 feet. The hunkers, as the bird are called, noisy calls found in every contiguous U.S. state.
So they had to cover his face with, like, Mr. Potato Head because his face was all just...
He's in stable condition. He's okay.
What is it?
A goose knocking someone unconscious after he was shot.
He fell from the sky.
Boom. Sort of like the gooses that...
That's what I was saying. I felt more sorry for the goose than the person. He was already dead by the time he hit the person.
I didn't know gooses could fly. I thought they were too big.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was flying, and they got shot.
Came down. Because they're huge.
Yeah.
If you go by Lake Merritt, I walk my dog over there sometimes, and they got geese big because they chased him. He was trying to chase them. He ended up chasing him away.
They get provoked really easily, too. Yeah. Like, I remember.
By the way, everybody, joining us is Zorba Hughes, everybody.
Hey, folks, how you doing? How you doing?
And Roomy.
Roomy. He reminds me of Poppy from the Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You guys can finish the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just came in out of nowhere. So
I'm done. I was actually going to bring up something else, but that's not off topic.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're getting close to the 420 shout-out, but I wanted to say hi to Zorba. Zorba,
hey,
what do you got going on, dude?
I got a couple shows coming up. December. February 16th, I will be at Spice Monkey over in 17th and Webster. The 18th, I will be over at Cobb's Comedy Club. I'm working on my first comedy CD. The 27th, I would be at Buzzworks. And I just did a show at a country bar last night, the Islander, and a karaoke bar, country bar. I'm from Kentucky, so it took me back home, reminded me of home. And the day before that, I did Hobart Building, which is a nice place. It was a nice theater. And a couple of days before that, I was in Orinda at a wine bar, and I killed that. So I've been working.
Good. I'm glad you've been getting your time. And so that the next one is over at Spice Monkey.
Yeah.
Cool.
Spice Monkey. And I just did last month, I was in two shows in Sketchfest. I was in SF Sketchfest. I did two shows. I was hosting one at Piano Fight. It was a bunch of improvers, and I was the host. And I did one at the Alamo Draft House over here on Mission. Draft House 5, and that's a beautiful theater.
So what do you think of hosting versus doing a set?
If you get to host like I got to host, it was fun. I like to perform. I'm a performer first and foremost. I like to get on stage and perform. But
what's the difference when you're hosting versus when you're just doing a set?
The difference is you're not supposed to, as a host, you're supposed to, you do your set, get a few laughs, but you primarily are there to be Vanna White. Mm-hmm. You're basically turning the letters for the other contestants.
Oh, wait, so you're not supposed to show them up or like
exactly.
outshine them?
Exactly.
Is that hard for a narcissist? I mean, a comedian such as myself.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It was, but if they give me something to play off of, I'm going to play off of it. So I had to go with what I had, and I was doing well. But
Well, it's a great job because you actually have to make them shine more than you. You kind of like you're the one. You're like you said, you're the presenter. You're the Vanna White. You're the flipping the letters.
And but I'd rather perform.
Yeah, and it's good though. But you know what the other thing is?
What?
You also perform damage control.
Yeah.
So there's sometimes for one, a comedian or a host has a real big responsibility. I'm gonna go into a song after this really quick, but I think one thing that a host has to do is they have to set the tone for the first opening comic. They have to get the room warmed up. They have to get everybody acclimated exactly. to what's going on in the room, get everybody on the same page, maybe get them a couple laughs so their funny bones are exercised and ready to go,
mm-hmm.
stretched out and ready to go.
Yeah.
But then if somebody stinks up the room.
Yeah.
They need to bring it back to at least a zero.
A crescendo, yeah.
Yeah, right. if they bomb out, they got to bring it back to a zero. And if somebody's killing and did really well, they want to keep that energy going, right?
Exactly. Me, I'd rather be the guy trying to kill it. I want to beast the room. I'm trying to crush it. I'm trying to make me. It sounds narcissistic, like you said, but I'm trying to be hard to follow. Like you want to leave the room after my set. And if that sounds egotistical, I'm sorry. I come from the world of being an MC. And that's how MCs think. Rappers, MCs, you're trying to be the best you can be.
Well, there you go. Hey, Zorba, thanks for hanging out. You can hang out with us. We're going to have Patrick Carlin on the phone in a couple of minutes.
Oh, wow. I haven't talked to him in a while.
So hang out with us, but we're going to do a little bit of a musical break, and then we'll be back with a 420 shout-out and Zorba Hughes. There you guys go.
Hey. Yeah, I was on that man.
I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah, say I got a woman way over town good to me. Oh yeah, she give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got that's good to me. Oh yeah, she says loving early in the morning just for me. Oh yeah, she says loving early in the morning just for me. Oh yeah. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Night never grumbles or fusses, always treats me right, never running in the streets and leaving me alone. She knows a woman's place is right there now in her home. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah, say I got a woman way over town. Yeah, I'm a lover man.
don't you know she's all right? I don't you know she's all right? She's all right, she's all right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, there you go. A little bit of I've Got a Woman by Ray Charles here on The Edge. Hey, it's 420 on the right coast, and as far as I'm concerned, it is 420 on the left coast. Coming to us usually live from WDST in upstate New York, but right now he's just chilling out in his home studio. Give it up for our boy, Patrick Carlin, everybody.
Hey. Hi, Patrick.
How you doing?
Hey,
good.
Patrick.
What you got out there?
Well, we got the core crew right now. We've got Christine with us. We've got Brandon back after months.
All right, Brandon. Good guy.
Yeah, I've been gone at work for so long, and they finally gave me a Sunday off after all this time. So I'm like, hey, I'll come to the show today.
Yeah.
And then part of the core crew right now, we got Dakota hanging out with us, Patrick, so she's here.
Okay, Kitten, how's the smoke out there?
No, Kitten. Kitten is out. This is Dakota. Dakota.
Dakota.
Oh, Dakota, okay. Yeah.
Okay, Kitten is out today, and then we've got Comedian. He's talked to you before, but it's been a while. I think it's been over a year. Zorba Hughes is with us. Zorba and his
cool,
dog.
Man.
His
you
dog,
got a gang
Roomie.
Of people.
We do. We're hanging out doing what we do best.
Yeah.
So what's going on with you? We were just reading about the hunter that got basically impaled by a bird.
Came falling out of the sky.
The air fowl became a head fowl.
Yeah, well, shot the bird that shit happens, man. They had a guy that was a lion hunter. And the motherfucker got shot. I thought that was beautiful.
Oh, it's funny. No, the bird got shot, came down, and hit another hunter.
Yeah,
that's
well, you do the best you can. It's like they used to have a poster.
Maybe you shouldn't have been doing it. Anyway, got knocked out.
We were just reading the story. I guess this happened where? In Crapo, Texas?
Crapo.
They say Crapo happens, right?
I'm sorry for the bird.
I feel sorry for the bird.
Then the person.
That's the only one I give a shit about is the bird.
Yeah, it's funny because you don't do the duck hunting. Ducks are nice creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what you did to me? You start with that Ray Charles thing.
Right.
And I punched him up on my, I got my library of tunes I like. I must have about 20 Ray Charles things in there. And one is Let's Go Get Stoned.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, beautiful old sentimental ballad, you know.
That's funny. I'm a...
Anyway, we're having a lot of fun with that shit. I'm sure you guys are having a good time.
Oh, yeah. We're hanging out, and like I said, we're reading all these kind of weird things here. By the way, this is the song. That's a kind of a good little lead-in. What are you smoking today, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. Homegrown, baby.
Homegrown. A little bit of the home.
You don't even have a name. When you're good, you don't need a name.
You don't need a name.
That's all promotional shit. I love the names. I get a kick out of them, Northern Lights and this and that and everything.
Right.
But, I mean, if it's got a stone, it's got a stone. Mm. And that's the trip. Hey, you want to hear
there
something
was only,
weird?
Well, there was only two kinds back in the day, right? There was only good and bad.
Oh, yeah, man. There was no really bad ever. That's like pussy.
Pussy, pizza, and pot.
Yeah, never no bad.
That'd be a great name for a club.
Good and better.
Pussy, pizza, and pot. Yeah. You'd have every guy in town in that club, right?
Yeah. Not every guy.
It's the same, certain shit ain't rateable.
Yeah,
it's just
a few
there.
Girls.
But you want to know something funny about the devil? Because I don't believe in any of that shit.
For what?
And but there's people who do. You know that 666 thing?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that
Mark
before.
Mark of the Beast and all.
Right.
The last outfit I was in the Air Force was 666. And shit, I never saw the Antichrist. That's a bunch of bullshit. I was up in Frisco. I never once saw that son of a bitch. Get this. Here's what a guy writes in. You got people like this
right.
that are out there moving among you. So don't forget it. And even as much as I don't care for this motherfucker who calls himself the Prez, this is this letter. It says, from the Bronx. This is in New York Daily News. Last Friday, the Dow Jones dropped 666 points, Trump's favorite number. Trump Tower is 666 feet tall, and he lives on the 66th floor. The Trump family owns 666 Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
They have a new tower at One Journal Square. The cost is $666 million.
Oh, wow.
And its height is also 666 feet tall. Trump's grandmother died on 6-6-66. Trump's real name, Donald John Drumpf, an American, in American ASCH computer code, is 666. The Trump coat of arms at Mar-a-Lago Resort contains three number six symbols, Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is numbered a man, and his number is 666. Check the comb over. And then the guy signs his name. So they're out there, bro. And,
well, it's funny. It's funny because if I think about it, the one building that's owned, it's 51% owned by Trump. It's 49% populated by Microsoft. It's the old, you remember the movie The Towering Inferno?
Oh, sure.
Can somebody look this up? Any of you guys you have a phone right now? Tell me what the Towering Inferno building on California Street's address here is in San Francisco. I believe it's either the 5 or the 600 block. And if it's the 600 block, it's right on the corner. So it's probably, it would be 600 California or 500 California. But it's really close to 666, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That kind of shit is fun. They
the church up the hill is
over by Cobb's. That big, the church. Here, I'll show you.
Oh, the by Cobb's though.
Yeah, there's a church.
There's a church. Okay, but the original St. Mary's Church on California Street. If that's 666, then it's up the hill. Okay.
It's St. Peter's and Paul Church in San Francisco.
Oh, St. Peter's and Paul is the one by Washington's Washington
the address
Park.
Is,
yeah, you're right. That one.
666 Filbert.
Okay. Yeah. So no, that's a different one, though.
It's still
if it's anywhere near a Catholic church, man, they'll just get Saint Michael to kick the shit out of the devil.
The church you were just talking.
I got sent to a boarding school called Mount Saint Michael's, and when you come back to it, it's all schools look like fucking prisons. I can't help it. But you'd get back to this place, and it had the administration building and all, and right out front, before you would come in, was a statue of the Archangel Michael with a fucking trident, and he was stabbing the shit out of the devil, and the devil had a long tail and shit like that.
Oh,
that
wow.
was welcome to Mount St. Michael, man. So you get into that Bible shit, man, there was some violent bullshit going on from right up front. It's a hell of a book.
That is, and it's funny because the church that Zorba was just talking about, St. Peter, I want to say St. Peter, Paul, and Mary is what I want to keep. I keep wanting to say that, right? Because no, that church is the one that would not let Joe DiMaggio marry Marilyn Monroe.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that I know that's one. So that one's the one that would not let them get married because they were both Catholic, but Joe DiMaggio had been married before.
Oh yeah.
So they ended up taking pictures out there because he was an altar boy there.
Oh yeah, man. Everybody was an altar boy or a choir boy. That was how they tried to keep you off the fucking street. And generally, they were the worst kids in the neighborhood.
I'm sorry. I did not hear you, whatever you said, Patrick. I'm sorry.
And so they were, in my neighborhood, the altar boys and choir boys were the worst kids in the fucking neighborhood. And they would put you on there so they could keep an eye on you, man.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
That was how they kept an eye on the bad guy, on the bad boys.
Oh, you bet your ass, man. Oh, God, yeah. They knew right what you were up to.
Oh, that's funny. But that's funny because that's the ones that the priests always, they say that the priests would go after those boys.
Oh, yeah, but you know, man, that all shit gets blown out of proportion, too. Of course that shit occurred and everything, there's no doubt about that. But most of the fucking kids knew what was shaking and what was going on. And, man, you know, you just didn't, you know, you were out, you stayed away. And, it was, you know, and... Well, you know, like, you get hip to shit when you're out in the street there. I don't know what it's about, but I knew shit at a very young age, and I cut my own fucking trail.
Right. Well, like I was just saying, if you guys were the bad boys, then you probably stuck up for yourselves a little bit there.
Oh yeah, we went to a thing, the altar boys and choir boys outing.
Right.
And you'd have to kick in your tips. You'd have to kick in your tips at if you served a wedding, you know. And at the end of the year, they would take you down to Coney Island to go on the rides and shit like that. And we were down there and waiting in line, about like 20 or 30, maybe 40 of us, a busload, you know.
Right.
If you filled a bus. We came down by subway. And we're down there, and we run into a whole gang of Boy Scouts. And we're waiting on line to go on this fucking ride. And the one guy says to my buddy Mikey, "Hey, we're here with the Boy Scouts from somewhere, and where are you guys from?" And Newcomb says, "We're with Corpus Christi, altar boys and choir boys." And the guy says, like, "Altar boys?" And Newcomb spit in his face and punched him in the mouth, and the shit was on, man. And we got kicked out of the park for beating the shit out of these fucking Boy Scouts. I guess they weren't prepared that day for the altar boys and choir boys.
Be prepared for an ass whooping, right?
Yeah, they don't know. They have to learn some shit. How did that happen?
Jeez, that's funny. Yeah. So
memories.
So how long did you go to church for as a boy?
I went. I was first and second grade. Naturally, you know, you're just there learning the shit.
Right.
And then
we used to call it Sunday school. We used to call it Sunday school.
Yeah, I got kicked out of second grade, and I got sent away to boarding school because some child psychologist told my mother I was just a bad boy and I needed male discipline, you know. So they never met my dad.
Right.
And, anyway, I did 4 years at boarding school, and that was funny because you could come home on some weekends. So I'd get to run the streets, and I still had the fun of the boarding school. And if it was weekends, I hung out with the worst kids in the dormitory. We used to get demerits. And I just had a wonderful 4 years, and I had 2 years in parochial school, 4 years in fucking Catholic high school. But once I got to puberty, I just knew I was going to hell. And I said, fuck it. Because if you even thought of grabbing a girl's tit, It was already an offense. You were already fucked. And I mean, all
was it?
It
was it a
that age,
was it a zero tolerance offense?
Well, yeah. If you mean to do the deed, George has a whole rap about this.
Yeah, I heard.
I don't know what it's under. It cropped up the other day when I was listening to music. He crops up among it randomly, and generally it's something that fits right in.
Isn't that kind of funny? It's kind of like he's throwing you something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I absolutely am in touch with the motherfucker, and he knows that.
Right.
And I blow smoke on his little, he's got a thing of last words, the audio, and I got the little box of it up there near my bows, and I blow smoke on him when I'm doing my tunes and shit. And if it's a new tune he didn't hear, I know it's one he would like, you know.
Right.
Can I ask you a question?
That's because he checked out in 08.
Right. That's go ahead, Zorba. You were going to say now. You were going to say something, Zorba. Go ahead.
He's missed tunes.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing? This is Zorba.
Why is your mic not that loud?
I don't know.
There you go. There you sound
good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Zorba, do your cup. You cupped it. Go ahead and do it again. Cup your microphone.
Hey, can you hear me?
There you go.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Patrick? This is Zorba.
Hey, Zorba, good to hear you, man.
Good to hear from you again, man. Quick question. Is this a true story? I'm sure it is because George told it. When you were little, when he was a baby, and you were five, your mom carried you down the fire escape to get away from your dad?
Right.
I was wondering, is that true? Did that really happen? He said he was wrapped up.
My old man was, I'll tell you what happened. We had left where we lived on Riverside Drive because he made good money. Mm-hmm. We had a maid and all of that kind of shit.
Gotcha.
But when we cut out there and we got down to 111th Street, we went to her father's house. He was a retired cop.
Yeah.
And we were hiding out there at 111th and Amsterdam Avenue, and they spotted him coming up the street, a couple of the brothers. And he was breaking down the fucking front door to come and get us when we headed to the fire escape at 111th. To go down the fire escape where my mother's brother Tom picked us up in a Chevrolet and took us up to the Catskills to hide out in a dairy farm. But while he was breaking down the door and Tom was escorting us down the steps, her other brother, Frank, was saying to my father, "You better get your gun, Pop, because you got to keep your gun when you retired from the cops." And those were the last words.
Wow.
It was, I had a wonderful fucking childhood. I wouldn't change a fucking thing, Zorba.
I moved here from New York. I lived kind of in the neighborhood. When I lived up there, I lived in the Bronx, 161st in Amsterdam. So I lived.
Oh, yeah.
So I lived over there by Clown West, some of that, because I made a. I learned the only reason I know about New York is because of rappers. Rappers talk about where they from, so you learn.
Oh yes, oh yes.
They would expand it and tell you. So I know about Queens and Brooklyn. Zorba, I know about. Man. You never heard comics really talk about it. I mean, every now and then Joan Rivers, whenever she got mad, she would let you know she was from Brooklyn.
It would yeah.
Her and Chris Rock would say it the same way, and they generations apart. But there's something about being from Brooklyn that gave them that attitude.
Oh, I love it. But, you know, that's that, too. But you got to tell you, man, we were from the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
We were from fucking Morningside Heights. We were right up against Harlem. Mm-hmm. And it was black and white and Puerto Rican and fucking Cuban. And, I mean, it was just wonderful. And we all rubbed shoulders with one another. And when there would be scuffles, it wasn't necessarily a racial scene. It would be more of a thing of some guys who happened to be a different color stole some shit off our buddies.
Yeah.
And then we caught them with their shit on them and kicked ass as we would have done worse at another Irish gang.
It was
very eclectic, Zorba, and no haters and shit, but you knew what was happening. And they had a lot of wonderful things we all learned from each other. I wouldn't have grown up anywhere else than New York fucking city, man.
I got a quick question for you in this sense.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Can make it loud.
Okay. Was it like Eddie Murphy said, him having Charlie Murphy as an older brother, he never had to, because he had the smart mouth, which I'm sure George had. He never had to worry about anybody like trying to beat him up because his brother would like beat the shit out of him.
Well, that's true.
Was that the same case with you and George?
Oh, yeah, that was the same thing. Absolutely. I told one kid, I said, "Listen, I said, I'm going to beat the shit out of your three older brothers."
Yeah.
And so that'll fucking take care of you, because I'm going to tell them I'm doing it because you're picking on George. And he never fucked with him again.
Yeah, because George and Eddie both said the same thing. They had a different time, but they both had the smart mouth and had you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, but it was, we knew why we were on that corner and what we were about. And
yeah.
Everybody was cool. It was wonderful, man.
Yeah.
And crap games on Sunday. And you learned wonderful things, like when a guy hits a hard six, you know?
Yeah.
And he shouts out, "Two rows of rabbit shit."
Exactly.
I mean, man, that's good, colorful speech.
Cool.
And I was always into good speech. And you're talking about the rappers and shit. Back in 1949... they had a thing where the guy would get me telling me, he says, "I'm standing on the corner smoking my charge when along come a honey in the 49 Dodge and the boom, bam, bam." I mean, it was there. It was always fucking there, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a thing called the Signifying Monkey. Are you hip to that, Zorba?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dolomite. Yeah, Dolomite did it. Yeah.
And Dolomite, all those people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you, man. You know,
I know
your
my
history.
I was I'm one of the few who really knows my comedy history. Like, here's a question I want to ask you. For us comics who are influenced by your brother, who still we see the shit that's going on with Trump today, and we live in such a PC world, because I know Richard Pryor and George would have a field day with this PC shit. And so would Bill Hicks and Kinison. What would you suggest?
Stay loud.
How do we carry on in the tradition of what they did?
Fuck that. Just be you. And you'll be doing it automatically. You're automatically doing it, Zorba. You're there right now. I can tell just by shooting the shit with you on the phone.
Yeah.
And you can't help the influence. Mm-hmm. It's like they're like here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do where the fuck did it come from? I met a guy today at WDST, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Famara, like you would say camera.
Yeah.
But it's Famara.
Yeah.
And he was doing drum shit with his hands and stuff. 1,000 years old, Zorba.
Wow.
1,000 years old. And we got to talk back, you know, back in the back of the station, away from the mic. And it was like I knew him all of my life, man, because you got music and reefer, and those are very, very communicative things among diverse peoples and shit like this. They cut through all kinds of trails, man. So you're doing beautiful, Zorba. Don't you feel it yourself?
Yeah, but sometimes as a comic and comics, if we're honest, we'll admit we get nervous at what society thinks. Then I think about that, your brother and Richard, and all of them coming to me, I'm like, I stand on the shoulders of those who came before me. Dick Gregory wouldn't back down. Why would I back down?
Yeah, no, you should be able to express yourself. But nowadays, you're worried to say anything about anything nowadays. I'm afraid to say anything about women. As a white guy, I'm afraid to say anything about race.
Don't be that way.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not, because I push boundaries, but... But even right now, I used to be a hugging person. I was telling Christine this before. I used to be the big hugging guy who'd come up to you.
First thing I did this morning was hug Famara, and I never saw the motherfucker before.
Right.
I had just heard what he was doing on the radio. When I walked in, I seen him. I said, give me a hug, man. And what the fuck? Fuck anyone who don't understand that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we have to say that in the age of all the crazy stuff with the allegations coming out of people, like with Aziz Ansari and the date, like his date came to his house, and we know how that went down. And a lot of these guys bring it upon themselves. Louis C.K. and all of them doing all those weird things, but you never, you know, you just, we like, I don't even poke women on Facebook anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no. Good for you. Yeah, no. No, now you just came in beautiful on this mic.
That's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, his mic just popped again.
Now you can
back off like 5 miles.
Okay, now this Barry White is going to back
great.
Up.
Yeah, nobody should be bothering other people that don't want to be bothered. Wow. It's that simple.
I know.
Yeah, now we can hear you. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I had Zorba cranked all the way. He's cradling his microphone like, well,
that's
we won't
cool.
even tell
him.
He was cradling it like it was another man for a minute
that's
there.
Cool.
No.
And I know right where
if
he's
I'm cradling
at,
it, it's like a woman.
Okay. Well, okay, so then your woman's very endowed in that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's very ample. Believe me, I like them endowed.
Yeah, but she's got a weird shape to them.
Yeah.
There used to be an old song, I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas, and you ought to see me do my stuff. I'm a caper-cutting cutie from Horner's Corner, you ought to see me strut. I'm a caper-cutting cutie, got a gal called Katie, she's a little heavy laden, but I call her baby.
I'm a
ding-dong daddy from Dumas, and you ought to see me do my stuff. I think that's back in the 20s or the fucking 30s. But you could call a heavy chick heavy laden, you know. Now they'd say you were body shaming and shit like that.
Well, that's what I mean. No matter what you say, that well, exactly. It's just the ultra PC world we live in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it limits things because when you're just fucking around and shit, you know, back in the neighborhood, we would have things that were like semi-slurs, but they weren't meant with a bad intent, you know, and shit like that. And they say, hey, man, I just had a fucking Irish dinner, a 7-course Irish dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, a 6-pack and a potato, man. Ah, yeah, and just bust each other's chops, more or less, on the various racial things. But it was not malicious. But now you can't do that shit.
Nope.
No, you can't. No, you can't at all. Yeah, absolutely.
I did up at Mountain Gym. I was talking to some dudes that were with Michael Franti and Spearhead from Frisco and all.
Yeah.
And the one guy, he collects notes and shit like that. He collects quotes. Good dude, man. And we call him Haas. It's short for Haas. You know, and he said, well, I said, I'll tell you something. I said, I was 19 before I found out that white motherfucker wasn't all one word. He said, write that down, Patrick. But that was cool, man, because that was just joking shit. And anyway, that was life in the Upper West Side, and I wouldn't trade it for a fucking $1 million.
Well, there you go. Hey, guys, it's that time of day again. Man, I can't believe time blows by talking to you, Patrick. So it was good to have you along with
us. I was happy to hear from you guys and happy to hear what Zorba's up to and happy that you guys are, and don't, you know, you're reasonable. Just keep doing what you're doing, Paul.
Oh, yeah, we're trying. I think we're trying to represent, you know, everybody from our entire crew, from Christine, Kit, and Brandon.
All of you. You do a great job, man.
And I think we have a really collective set of voices here. And then we invite great people like Rumi and, oh, yeah, Zorba.
Yeah, yeah. And you live in a fucking
Your mic went out again.
Oh, no.
I think it's the cord underneath. For some reason, all of a sudden.
Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, man, it's out like shit again. I'm sorry, dude. Got you turned up again, so there we're gonna have to do it that way. But and then we invite collective voices like Zorba, and so we enjoy it. And then you know what? Every week talking to you, Patrick, it keeps me fucking just kind of amped up, and I can't wait to see what we got to talk about next week. And
oh yeah, they're out there making funny news for us, all them people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. So you guys, I want to thank you very much from everybody here at the Edge Crew. You know our respective pages. We say this every week. Go check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Give us one more time how we can keep up with everything Zorba Hughes.
You can check me out on Facebook and Twitter at Zorba Javon, at ZORBAJVON. And like I said, I got shows coming up the 16th. I will be at the 27th. I'll be at Buzzwork the 16th, Spice Monkey on 17th and Webster in Oakland, and Cobbs the 18th.
There you go. Hey, thanks again, Zorba. And Patrick, we'll talk to you next week. Keep standing up, everybody. This is a little bit of your little bro, and it makes sense to me today, Patrick, because it's kind of entitled America is Full of Shit.
Aren't we all?
All right, so there you go. Keep standing up. We'll see you next week here on
Bye,
The
guys.
Edge.
Right. Thank you, Patrick.
Bye, Patrick.
As my dispatcher used to say, thanks for the warning.
There you go.
You realize once again that America's leading industry, America's most profitable business, is still the manufacture, packaging, distribution, and marketing of bullshit. High quality, grade A, prime cut, pure American bullshit. And the sad part is that most people seem to have been indoctrinated to believe that bullshit only comes from certain places, certain sources, advertising, politics, salesmen, not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit, teachers are full of shit, clergymen are full of shit, and law enforcement people are full of shit. This entire country is completely full of shit. And always has been, from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution to the Star-Spangled Banner, it's still nothing more than one big steaming pile of red, white, and blue, all-American bullshit. Because think of how we started. Think of that. This country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us all men are created equal. Oh, yeah, all men, except for Indians and niggers and women, right? Always like to use that authentic American language. This was a small group of unelected white male landholding slave owners who also suggested their class be the only one allowed to vote. Now that is what's known as being stunningly and embarrassingly full of shit. And I think Americans really show their ignorance when they say they want their politicians to be honest. What are these fucking cretins talking about? If honesty were suddenly introduced into American life, the whole system would collapse. No one would know what to do. Honesty would fuck this country up. And I think deep down, Americans know that. That's why they elected and reelected Bill Clinton. That's why. Because the American people like their bullshit right out front where they can get a good, strong whiff of it. Clinton might be full of shit, but at least he lets you know it. Dole tried to hide it, didn't he? Dole kept saying, I'm a plain and honest man. Bullshit. people don't believe that. What did Clinton say? He said, "Hi, folks, I'm completely full of shit, and how do you like that?" And the people said, "You know something? At least he's honest. At least he's honest about being completely full of shit." It's just like the business world, same as business. Everybody knows by now, all businessmen are completely full of shit. Just the worst kind of low-life criminal cocksuckers you could ever want to run into. A fucking piece of shit businessman. And the proof of it is they don't even trust each other. They don't trust one another. When a businessman sits down to negotiate a deal, the first thing he does is to automatically assume that the other guy is a complete lying prick who's trying to fuck him out of his money. So he's got to do everything he can to fuck the other guy a little bit faster and a little bit harder. And he's got to do it with a big smile on his face. You know that big bullshit businessman smile? And if you're a customer, whoa! That's when you get the really big smile. Customer always gets that really big smile as the businessman carefully positions himself directly behind the customer and unzips his pants and proceeds to service the account. I'm servicing this account. This customer needs service. Now you know what they mean. Now you know what they mean when they say, "We specialize in customer service." Whoever coined the phrase, "let the buyer beware," was probably bleeding from the asshole. But that's business. That's business.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Hey, everybody. Listen to the Weekly Review with Roman every Friday from noon to 2 p.m. This is an unapologetically anti-capitalist program. We interview community organizers, activists, and artists. We talk about ways you can take action right now. So listen in to the Weekly Review every Friday from noon to 2 p.m.
Subliminal SF brings you visual and auditory mind control. For the best graphic design, physical merchandise, and live music promotion, go to www.subliminalsf.com and check out their hilarious t-shirts and super cool bands at clubs and bars all over the Bay Area. Subliminal SF creates amazing flyers, posters, and design for every need. So go now to www.subliminalsf.com and experience what this wonderful local business has to offer.
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground Underground Comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitious. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak feeling. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cow, honey.
Well, hello, boys and girls. You know what a password is. That's a secret word that soldiers would use to get past the sentry and up to the front. Well, here's a password that gets you.
Test, test, Carl.
Test, test, Mike. How do you hear me?
I don't know. There's feedback going on. Test, test.
Test, test.
All right, well, now there's no feedback.
Okay, how about this? Test, test.
Tickety test. Test, test, test.
Testity talk.
All right, you're coming in low, but if I touch anything, feedback comes, and if I move around, if I cut out, it's because of this cord I have.
Okay.
It's the cord attached to my headphones, so if I step on it, it cuts out, so that's the reason. That was
well, I don't have this cord to my headphones. I do that matrix thing in the back of your skull.
I don't know.
I'm always jacked in.
I think you're fucking with me. All right, so we have this is the pre-show here at Mutiny Radio, where we check out the audio of our friend Carl. And we might have a live guest. A comedian who's here hanging around the station, he might pop in.
All right, who is it?
His name is Zorba.
Zorba?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Cool.
That's good.
Zorba Hughes, he's a good guy.
All right, get him.
So he might.
Maybe he can absorb this movie.
But who can really absorb this movie?
Yeah. Oh, well, so many people. Almost everybody who watches it. Oh.
If anyone's listening to this right now, okay, but I've been walking around the city with a complete Shakespeare in my backpack.
Uh-huh.
And CDs and two sandwiches.
Oh, okay. And if you were to eat the sandwiches, you still wouldn't lighten the load.
It would. Maybe that would help. I try eating during our show. It doesn't really help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm too hungry and I need nourishment. But on the other hand, no one wants to hear me. It's bad enough you can hear me breathe. Last thing you need is me having a.
Now I have here somewhere some Shakespeare things.
Okay, cool. So I was taking a look, King Lear, like the scene Act Three, Scene Four. That's what we're gonna do. Okay.
Okay.
That's
act
the one
three,
where.
Scene.
He's crazy, and he's in the water, in the rain, and he's there with his jester.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, it's when he first starts going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know. I barely remember
there's
that.
There's this, like, turning point in which, like, he realizes he's abdicated some of his throne, and now he starts bossing people around, and they're like, yeah, whatever. He starts getting disrespected in a way that a king never is. And so he begins to question, did I make the right choice here? Did I choose the right daughters? And it's raining on him, and he starts to go mad. You know, he goes crazy in the end, right?
Oh, I thought he goes crazy in the beginning.
No, in the beginning, he's like, I'm going to retire now. And he sits down with his daughters and says, okay, daughters, tell me who loves me the most. And they each get up and tell them, I love you, you know, as much as raindrops from the sky. And then the one daughter, Cordelia, she says, I'm not going to tell you anything because words can describe.
It's Cordelia,
yeah.
Reagan, and Gonorrhea.
That sounds exactly
right. All
right,
hey, Carl, we're down to the last 7 seconds. I'm going to start playing it. Okay. I'm going to play it now.
watchful.